My prayer this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus is for a number of things here I've written down. We can pray for our faithfulness. I believe that whatever the case and whatever we face, that our faithfulness to our calling is of utmost importance. In my mind, that's my opinion. Being faithful to our calling is what a steward is called to be. And personally, I think that's going to be sorely attacked by different forces and even by the world and worldliness. I'm praying for our being thankful for all things that we have. There's many things that we are not even aware of that the Almighty is behind the scenes. I think the guys, Pops has said that, behind the scenes of his working, things that we have no clue about that might be destructive that he's not allowed to happen. I pray for our trust in the Lord. That's something that there are times that we may be tried. As far as our trust in the Lord is concerned, we might be tried to the very bone, to the very marrow. Job was trusted down to the very marrow of his existence, and that's a really great book to read. Diane and I are reading that now, and there's certainly tremendous knowledge to be learned, even in the dispensation of the mystery from the book of Job. And we pray for our family and friends, the girls, Carolyn, health-wise, you know, but in my opinion, we can be in a bad state of health, or we can be laid up on a bed of sickness. But if our peace and our faith and our trust in the Lord is there, well, that's what's important. And as we walk the planet, whatever we might do, our faith, our trust in the Lord, that's what's important. And that's, in all the years I've been walking around, I'm still brought to that conclusion. And, okay, so, what about the president? Okay, so, do we pray for the elections? Well, I never used to vote years ago. Now I came to the conclusion that that is not correct for a believer. And I won't belabor prayer, but as far as believers in Christ are concerned, there's only one choice for president. And I think it boils down to a moral issue, if nothing else. Absolutely. You know, and so powers that be would want to take this country down. You know, they would want to take this country down because this country is the best country in the world, and we have been free to study the Word of God, preach the Word of God, talk about the Word of God, and I believe that that has been under attack for years, and so I think that that's all I'm going to say about that. I think all of you are wise enough to know where I would go with that. Usually, it's funny, Ron was talking today about men in the Scriptures, people in the Scriptures, people that teach and write, and funny, you know, he said that any one person doesn't have the 100% bank on the truth. I totally agree with that. And there is one called God, the Holy Spirit, that through the Word of God interprets the Word of God for each of us. We know that. He dwells within us. There's no doubt about that. And it's only through digging. That's a fact. It's only through our digging. We all know about this, but it's only through digging. And if you're a digger, you might come to some realization about certain truths that that might not be real well known about. But that's what is marvelous about the Word of God. The reason that I'm going to laugh about what, or that I chuckled about what Ronnie said is that usually I do my own studies. I like to dig myself, bring out things that, whether I'm right or wrong, I feel it's really important to give time to the Lord. But what I'm going to do today is this, is I'm going to read a study that Oscar Baker did. And so it's like when Ron was saying, well, you know, Osher doesn't have all truth and Welch and Bowling. I agree with that. But what's interesting today is that I'm going to read a study that Oscar did on the millennial kingdom. And it's coming out of Isaiah 60. And the reason why I'm going to read this is I believe that it is interesting, and that I believe some of his viewpoints are interesting, and that it's something that is maybe bringing out some good truths. And you know, it might not be, this study might not be, you know, well distributed around. And so I think I got it from Miss Jan, of course. And so I thought, well, after reading this, I thought, hey, I should read this to the saints and, you know, and it would be to their edification. So I'm gonna cut off of what I normally do and to read Oscar Baker's study on the millennial kingdom, if that's okay. And so I pray that this is edifying in praise to the Almighty God, and it's edifying to you. Okay, so we're going to turn to chapter Isaiah, chapter the end of chapter 59, and we're going to be going through Isaiah 60, okay? And, you know, just listen to this, I suppose, because it's interesting. Isaiah chapter 59, the millennial kingdom, okay, and so we've been going through that as far as the hope in God's word, said many things about that, and I think after this lesson, if I finish it, I'm going to go on to the heavenly Jerusalem as far as hope in God's word. If I don't finish it, I'll have to come back to this and finish it off, and then from that point on, we're going to go to a new hope or another hope, the heavenly city, the new Jerusalem. That's I mean, these things are not easy. These subjects are not easy. I found more about the millennial kingdom after studying about it than I ever knew existed. And so, you know, the word of God is eternal, I suppose. So Isaiah 59:20, and the redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. And so I'm going to just read verse by verse, sort of. Might read two verses at a time, and I'm just going to throw out comments that Oscar Baker did. Maybe a couple of sprinklings of my own in there, too. In verse 20, Christ is going to return and reside in Zion. This is the Jerusalem of the millennial kingdom. Zion, what is Zion? Well, it's the city of David. It's the Jerusalem here of the millennial kingdom. A shining comes forth because of the glory of God, for light is come. Here, we're talking about the millennial kingdom. Chapter 60, verse 1, we should read that. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And so, talking about the millennium, a light is shining because of the glory of the Lord, for the light has come to Israel. Israel's glory has come after so many, many years. And this is going to happen at least 2,000 years after Acts 28:28. Isaiah wrote 600 years, pardon me, before the time of Christ. And finally now, we could say after at least 2,600 years, Israel's time has finally come. For behold, in verse 2, darkness shall cover the earth. This is interesting. And gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, upon Israel, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. The darkness spoken about in verse 2 is the nations of earth at this time. Okay, so the millennial kingdom is primarily about Israel, but in fact, there is going to be many nations still on the planet during the millennial kingdom. According to Oscar, the Great Commission is going to be set in force at this time, the Great Commission. that was given to the apostles, 12 apostles, in Matthew 28, is going to begin going forth to evangelize the nations at this time in the millennial kingdom. Verse 2 of Isaiah 61. Oh, no, Isaiah 60, pardon me, Isaiah 60. We already read that. Okay, and verse 3, and Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to thy brightness of thy rising. As the millennial kingdom progresses, the more of these nations will be evangelized and changed, but not all of them, because there's going to be a tremendous rebellion at the end of the millennium. And we looked over that. That's Gog and Magog, where Satan is finally released from the abyss after 1,000 years of being chained. And he's in his rage, as we saw before, he's going to gather up nations from around the world and millions of people, as we saw in previous studies, will rise at the end of the millennium and try to crush Israel again. And then a miraculous power of God will have to come down and save them. And so there's going to be the nation of Israel evangelizing the nations during the millennium, but there's still going to be enough nations on the earth, millions of people that'll turn from the Lord and his truth, even though it's going to be Israel's glory. As the millennium progresses, the more these nations will be evangelized and changed, but not all of them, because there's going to be a tremendous rebellion at the end of the millennium, Gog and Magog. All of the nations of the earth will be against Israel, and then the living nations will be judged. That's what Oscar believed the gross darkness is. There will not be as many nations as is now. And so what's interesting is that we should kind of picture this in our minds, that this is actually going to occur on this planet. And I believe certainly after our manifestation. I believe our manifestation is going to take place 67, 68, 69, probably at the beginning of week 68 of Daniel's prophecy of the weeks of years. And so that's my opinion, but I believe the church, which is the body of the fullness of Christ, of which we are part, will be taken off the scene, and then the period of Lo Ammi, which has existed for 2,000 years, will be put to rest, and God's going to take up his work with the nation of Israel in the millennium again. That's what I believe is going to happen. Right now, there's 195 nations on the planet. I looked this up. And in the final outcome of the millennial, there'll be 70. And so, 125 nations as they are will cease to exist when the millennium comes around. The nation of Israel, if it's and it will be glorious and the leading nations, other nations are going to be attracted to it. As in when the queen of Egypt came to see the glory of Solomon's kingdom. And so, Gentiles from around the earth will be coming to this millennial kingdom to see the glory of Jerusalem, because they'll be attracted to it. Appendix 88 of the Companion Bible gives the dimensions of Jerusalem during the millennium in the holy place, and I found that this to be really interesting. And so this is going to exist on this earth. I can't push this anymore, because right now we might have the tendency of thinking gloom and doom. Gloom and doom is going to, you know, where can this planet go from here? You know, how low in the toilet can they go? Well, eventually there's going to be Armageddon. And so when the Lord returns, that's going to be a time never seen on the planet before. So, I'll let you think about that. All right. The size of Jerusalem and its grounds at this period of time will be 60 square miles. 60 square miles. And Oscar believes this, that there will be room in modern terms for hotels, motels, a landing strip for airplanes, and all kinds of business buildings, he states. Jerusalem at this time will almost fill a space between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. And so that's interesting. So you'd have to get out your maps and take a look, because this is a big area, and it takes in some interesting nations that really are wicked. But at this time, they're not going to be wicked anymore. So we'll get to that. The temple will be open so that them who want to walk in and worship from around the world can come in and worship, and they can have their conferences there, which are some interesting thoughts. When the promise was made to Abraham about the promised land, it was about the land between two great rivers. Here comes your map again. The Euphrates and the River Nile. Okay? The Euphrates and the River Nile. So this millennial kingdom is going to be set in that space. So you got to dig. Get out your study hat if you want to look at that. Just take a look at a map and see how big of a slice of land this is. The eastern boundary is given as the EC, which we call the Persian Gulf. It's interesting. If you move towards the Nile, you'll find that you take in a great deal of Ethiopia and Egypt on the east side of the Nile. Really? And think about Ethiopia, that's part of Africa. And, of course, Egypt has had what? They've been in scriptures way back when. They've been something that the Lord has to deal with, and he took his people out of, and all the multiple things that Egypt has been talked about in the scriptures. You'll take in the whole Arabian Peninsula. That's interesting, too. Take a look. The whole Arabian Peninsula, my mind says, what's there? What is in the Arabian Peninsula? Well, there's a lot of oil there. Is it a land of beauty and mountains and rolling hills and grasses? Well, that's something you should look over. But, it's going to be different in the millennial kingdom. And then a whole bunch of little countries also, including the Saudi Arabia. It will take over Jordan, the country of Jordan, and Syria. What is one of the most wicked nations right now opposed to Israel? It's Syria. They're like, when I think of Syria, I think of a snake. That's what I think of. But nonetheless, the millennial kingdom will take over the nation of Syria, the landmass there. Interesting. Who's causing a lot of trouble today. All of that will be included in the great kingdom of Israel, with Jerusalem as its capital. And to me, that's awesome. I mean, if you think about it, that's awesome. You know, it's kind of funny. It's like you say, praise the Lord. I mean, way to go, Lord. He's got a sense of humor. You know, he's like saying, okay, so you're wicked against me? Well, eventually you'll be no more. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to put my kingdom in your spot. You know, just like there was a guy somewhere claiming that God wasn't real, and if he was, he should strike him dead. I don't know. I forgot his name. But eventually, when he died, his house was taken over, and Bibles were sold out of it. And, you know, it's something like that. It's like God has an awesome sense of humor, and he's going to do this with Syria. Okay, no wonder why they're going to need a 60 square mile of space for visitors to come in. Israel is going to be, Jerusalem will be a great thriving city, a center of the world, and a seaport. You're kidding. A seaport? Where does that idea come from? Read your prophecies. Who'd ever think that Jerusalem would become a seaport? 2,600 feet above sea level, it will come down, and the Dead Sea will come up, according to Oscar's statement. Well, look, Ezekiel 47 is one prophecy, but let's look at Zechariah 14. Interesting, all right? So we're going on here. I got 22 verses to go, and I got some time, but, you know, we can always come back to this. But this is truly interesting. It is. And so we take a look at Zechariah 14, 1 through 9. Get a load of this, the millennial kingdom. Behold, the day of the Lord comes. Well, that's talking about Armageddon. That's talking about when the day of the Lord comes, the tribulation has occurred, and the battle of Armageddon happens. That's the day of the Lord, which we looked at before. Spoke about that at the conference. Oh, and by the way, I think the conference turned out to be a pretty much of a success as far as I know. I mean, you know, we're just sitting here in this podunk town here, separated from the rest of existence. But from what I understand, it turned out to be really well. I think Forrest told me that it almost turned out better than expected. Wish we were there, but we were there and we saw a bunch of you walking around anyway. So thank you for all of you for putting that on. It's a great thing. And that's where technology was used by the Lord. Okay, back to Zechariah 14:1. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Israel to Jerusalem, to battle it. And the city shall be shaken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of thy people shall be not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. Now, this is awesome. The second advent of Christ, and the Mount of Olives, I believe, is where he was crucified. Golgotha, the place of the skull. Hope I have that right. Which is before Jerusalem on the east, yes. Golgotha was on the east side of Jerusalem, and the opening to the tabernacle of the wilderness was on the east side. The Lord will come back from the east, and so the east is important. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. So this mount is going to cleave horizontally. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. And I didn't study that, but I can look at that. I'm sorry I didn't study that. Yes, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light, and it shall be in that day that the living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, which is the Dead Sea, which will come to life, and half towards the hinder sea, which is the Mediterranean Sea. Now that is extremely important. Extremely important because the Dead Sea will come to life. The Dead Sea is a type of things in the scriptures. The Mediterranean Sea coming to life, that's a interesting, very, very important sea there in which Paul traveled all about, and all of his mystery was contained, all of his, pardon me, his ministries were contained in and around. And it goes on to say, verse 8, and it shall be in that day that the living waters shall go forth from Jerusalem, half towards the former sea, the Dead Sea, and half towards the Mediterranean. In summer and winter shall it be, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. All right, so that is a prophecy that has to do with, Oscar believed, had to do with Israel, Jerusalem becoming a seaport, which is, I could go along with whoever I am. Okay, verse 4, back to Isaiah 60, and again, I'm putting this study forth, and, you can put on your own study hats and agree or not, look into this, and, but I thought this was very, very unique. If you go out there and you do some studies about the millennial kingdom, you might not find, many good ones. Verse 4 of Isaiah 60. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They are come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. All right. Listen to this one. This is interesting. From far places will people come, these folks. These Jews are scattered all over the face of the earth as they are today. But here they'll be coming home. I think you've heard this before, right? The Jews will finally come home to Jerusalem in the millennial kingdom. Listen to this. When it speaks of thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side, it means that they will be carried. Babies and little girls will be carried by other people of the earth because of the rigors of the journey of these Jews coming back to Israel, to Jerusalem. Israelites will be so well thought of by the Gentile nations at that time that these nations will be glad to pick up their little babies and girls and carry them to Jerusalem. Now that's interesting, to say the least, right? Okay. So, it's enjoyable. Verse 5 of Isaiah 60, then thou shalt see and flow together, and thy heart shall fear, and be enlarged because of the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. If it seems like this talk is exaggerated about the nations and what they'll do for Israel, remember that the world owes Israel an awful lot. Think of all the times that things have been stolen from Israel. Hey, how about the Nazis? And how about Israel always being attacked by the world in the past, and how the world has treated them? Israel has a lot coming to them. The multitude of camels in verse 6 shall cover thee. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Not only will there be a lot of trade there, but they're going to turn to Israel. The world is going to turn to Israel, and they're going to turn to Israel's God. And for a lot of countries on earth, this is going to be a very big thing compared to today. Verse 7, all the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to thee, and they shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will give glory, and I will, glorify the house of my glory. The Lord's house at that time will be a great place. The house and the temple was the place where the Levites ministered, and they'll be dwelling there. The Gentiles will come to the temple to worship, and they'll bring offerings that will be accepted, which never before was true in the past. That's interesting. And so if we understand that the law is going to be enforced and that sacrifices are going to be enforced, which is it's very tough and hard to understand that what that might be, as far as my brain is concerned, but there's an answer. And the Gentile nations will be under the law of Israel, which they weren't in the past, and they are not even today. Animal sacrifices will be reinstated, so we could go on and on, back and forth about comparing this and that. But it's almost going to be impossible to describe the grandeur of Israel during the millennial kingdom. Verses 8 and 9 of Isaiah 60. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isle shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first to bring thy sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified thee. Remember that the Jews, wherever they go, they tend to amass gold and silver. This is kind of interesting. And remember from the time of Abraham, they had a fight practically for their existence. You know, and it seems like everywhere they go, they're blamed for this or that, right? And maybe, you know, maybe sometimes they had it coming, but maybe most times they didn't. And it's made them a very hardy people on earth. Not only that, but during the Middle Ages, whatever they accumulated was taken all away from them. And so they had to learn to exist by their wits. Interesting. Another comment, well, hey, if you want your business to run well, hire a Jew. That is not, you know, I'm not saying that with any malice, or I'm not prejudiced at all whatsoever. If you're Jew, you're a Jew and you're green, if you know and teach the mystery, you know, come on to my house. You know what I'm saying? I don't care if you're green, white, blue, anything. But if you're an adopted son of God, that's all that matters. To me, anyway. I don't care if you're Russian, Polish, Jewish. It doesn't matter, and it doesn't matter to the Lord either. Verse 10, and some of the strangers shall build thy walls, and their king shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Isaiah tends to remind them that Israel has been smitten. Therefore, verse 11, thy gates shall be open continually, and they shall not shut day or night, that men or that humankind may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. There will be so much traffic there, so much trade in and out, that they'll never be able to shut the gates. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. During the millennium, that's what can happen. And it could be an answer to why 195 nations boil down to 70. Verse 14 of Isaiah 60. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. This temple is going to be far more glorious than anything that Solomon built. Wouldn't it be great to see, listen to this, wouldn't it be great to see if some of these Arabs that are over there would be doing that, bowing down to Israelites? Okay, now I don't think Oscar Baker was prejudiced either, but it's like, you know, I suppose that Islam, right, might be extremely detrimental, right, to Israel. He states that Arabs may be bad or good, and all that sort of thing, but he believes that you'll find a lot of great characteristics even among them during the millennial kingdom. And they will come to worship the true Lord during that time. Some of my words. Verses 15 and 16 of Isaiah 60. Whereas thou, has been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee. I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breasts of kings. And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. It shows that Israel will receive supplies during the millennium from all kinds of foreign nations. And that day it said that everyone would know the Lord of Israel, according to Jeremiah 31. No one there will have to tell his neighbor about the Lord. They will all know him that are in Israel. That's going to be a marvelous thing as far as the nation of Israel is concerned. Verse 17 and 18, for brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood, brass, and for stones, iron, I will also make thy officers peace, and thine extractors righteous. Violence shall be no more, verse 18, no more be heard in thy land, wasting or destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. Everywhere you go in the millennial kingdom, peace will be the order of the day. Ever since the murder of Cain, ever since Cain murdered his brother, there's never been this. Here's a time where there'll be no violence in the Lord. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, can't do anything during the 1,000-year millennium, and yet it won't be perfect on earth because we know that the old nature still abounds, even though Satan won't be allowed to tempt people. The old nature will still abound outside of Israel, but not in the land of Israel. Verses 19 through 22, coming to a close. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall bring unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall the moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thy everlasting life, and this tends to move into the New Jerusalem, but that's something that has to be discussed. And the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become 1,000, and a small one, a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. It tells us in Romans that in that day all Israel shall be saved. That is, all Israel that is living at this time. Now, this is an interesting comment by Oscar that I have to roll around in my mind. Because in Romans it talks about all Israel is not Israel. Okay, so, and that Romans gets into faith, okay? Romans, in my mind, this is Mike, Romans gets into faithful believers, and it talks about, I believe, during the period of Acts, the New Jerusalem calling was given forth unto those that had faith. And so I would have to be rolling around these statements of Oscar with that in mind. He said that all of Israel that is living at that time will be a saved people. And that he says that it doesn't mean that those that have been wicked and died in the past or anything like that. It's talking about the people that are living there and then. All right, so that's one comment that, this is my personal thought. That's one comment that I would have to really dig into about that, because there was a remnant, no doubt. There is a remnant of faith during the book of Romans, in the book of Romans, during the period of the Acts. There was a remnant called out I believe, to the New Jerusalem during the Book of Acts. And it could have been a Jew or a Gentile. It didn't matter if you were a Jew or a Gentile. You were part of this remnant, the Church of the Firstborn. And so that's something. Again, these truths are more complicated, if you will, on the surface. Is the Word of God complicated? Is belief in Christ complicated? No. Is the Word of God complicated? Okay, I'm not going to... You answer that. You answer that question for yourselves. Is the Word of God complicated? Well, the more you dig into it, the more you don't know. And the more you dig into it, the more you find out. And so what kind of word are you going to put the word complicated to that? No, it's a glorious, actually, is the word that you would put to that. But again, we all have to come around to these things. We all have to study. We all have to come to our own conclusions. But I think that, in giving this study today, I think it's very, you know, it was a very great study, very good study, by Oscar. And I think that going through Isaiah 60 was a great thing, pointed out some really interesting facts about the millennial kingdom. But I don't think I don't think all the truth of the millennial kingdom has come in, you know, if you will. But nevertheless, I'm going to move on from here and talk about the New Jerusalem in upcoming messages. And I hope that and pray that this, you know, this is not about our calling at all. And, you know, but how the Lord works is definitely edifying. How he's going to work with Israel is a tremendous thing. You know, to know about some of that is great. And so I think that studying about this can be edifying. It can, if we compare it to our calling, that can be certainly edifying because we're a heavenly calling. And Israel, at least at this time, during the 1,000 years, is one a blessing on earth. And so, thanks for listening. It's a privilege to be here among you folks. Thank you so much. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus.